Good Friday. I'm sure most of you have watched the same movies on television that I've watched. The movies about the crucifixion, right? We've seen a lot of those. And we've seen Jesus Christ being ridiculed and being punished and eventually being killed for us. And we call it Good Friday. It wasn't a great day for him, probably, but in retrospect, it really was, because he was here to fulfill a promise. But we could have called it maybe something else. Maybe we could have called it Painful Friday or Persecution Friday. But Good Friday? You see, to the world who doesn't know Jesus Christ, they're looking at this title this day and thinking they know just enough to be dangerous. And they've watched those same movies and they say, Good Friday? It wasn't a good day for him, was it? But you know, it was a great day for us. And so ultimately, it was a great day for him. I've said so many times in the past that if it wasn't for Friday, there would be no Easter. You see, this Good Friday helps us to get ready for and to prepare for Easter. There's a very real reason why Good Friday is so important to us. Not only to us, but to those that were before us and to those that will come after us. What is it? Here's why. Here's why Good Friday is so important to every one of his children. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." That's why it's important. This process of sinning started way back in the garden. You remember when God told Adam and Eve that you can eat of anything in the garden except this one tree. And as humans, what do you think they did? They went right for that one tree. That's what we tend to do. And so sin began at that time, and God has been pursuing sinners ever since because of his love for us. You see, God gave them freedom to eat whatever they wanted, but they sinned. They made a bad choice. And that choice and those consequences went on forever and are still going on today. You see, sin is a big problem when it comes to our relationship with God. Isaiah puts it this way in 59:1-2, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear, but your iniquities, my iniquities, have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." You see, our sin has separated us from God. Our sin is something that God just cannot handle, sin. And so from the very beginning, God had to another plan in order to still give us that opportunity to be with him, because sin separates us from God. But God's desire was to live with us forever. That's what he wanted. But now something's come along, this sin, that's caused a separation. So something had to happen. A sacrifice had to be made for our sin, our bad choices. So here it was, and this is what God did. This is how he showed us true love, and this is why it is called Good Friday. John 3:16. It's the greatest expression of God's love. It's the death of his son. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and he believes in him, and shall, if we believe in him, he shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God, one and only Son, Jesus Christ." So the question tonight is, why would God do this? Why would he send his only son to this earth. It wasn't like we as a human race, especially at that time and even today, that we obeyed God's commandments, that we put God first, that we trusted God, that we did all the things that God wanted us to do and all the things He laid out to do, because they didn't, and neither do we. His disciples didn't even follow Him when He asked them to. Peter denied Him. Judas betrayed Him. The other apostles hid when the Roman soldiers were coming after them. And then you think, oh, that's them, but what about us? Well, then there's us. Look how we live our lives. Do we spend our life really trusting and being obedient to God? Or do we live our lives doing what we want, living a life that is all about us? It is not until things go bad in our life, until everything falls apart, that we turn our eyes to God and we cry out, please, God, help me. And then God will help us and get us through that time, and then we go back to living a life that's not exactly what He would want it to be. So again, I ask the question, why would God send His Son to die for us? Two words. It's love. Love is why God did what He did. God displayed this greatest act of true agape love that has ever been displayed. God put a face on agape love. Did you hear that? God put a face, a body, onto this earth that was true agape love. This kind of agape love is a special kind of love. It's an unconditional, a forgiving, a sacrificial kind of love. It's a love that He had for us. This agape love, there's many examples of this in the Bible, and I want to just share with you a few of those tonight. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God wants us to know that His unconditional love is there, always. So He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us unlovable sinners that we are. We don't deserve it. We didn't do anything to earn it. We are just blessed because He loves us so much. We didn't have to get clean first. We didn't have to make promises to God before we could experience this kind of love. His love for us has always existed. God loved us from the very beginning of time. You see, God is love. But unconditional love is a very different kind of love than other kinds of love that we experience in our life. See, it's not based on feelings or emotions, things that change day to day, things that come and go. He does not love us because we are lovable, because let me tell you, I know I'm not. There's plenty of times that I'm not very lovable, and especially to God. But He loves us because He is love. That's who God is. Out of that love, He sacrificed His one and His only Son, who also loved us enough to be willing to go to that cross, to give of His life, to go through what He had gone through, so that we may live, so that we may be able to come back together again and be restored with God. So again, without Good Friday, there is no Easter. And we should never forget that. The biblical message in this is that the gospel is that God, motivated by love, moved unconditionally to save His people from their sins. Amen? That's what God did. He loved us so much, unconditionally, and it saved us from our sins. Key passage that I want to look at tonight is found in 1 John 4:7-11. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. You see, love does not define God. God defines love. This passage talks about us knowing God. When we say we know God, that means that we have an intimate union or relationship with God, a relationship like no other, except maybe for our spouse, is the kind of unconditional love we should have there. But you see, it's that kind of love that God's talking about. And then John tells us that we too should love others in the same way. This is our part of the story. This is our part of what we need to do. Pastor Rick spoke on this part of love last weekend. He did a wonderful job of telling us about love and how it looks and what it means and how do we do it. God's love is also a forgiving love. And that should be good news for each one of us tonight. I don't know about you, but I thank God every day that he forgives me for my sins. Because I can't make it through a day without failing or doing something that I'm sure didn't please him. And so I am so thankful that he is a God that's not only loving, but also forgiving. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. In Ephesians 1:7, Paul says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Ephesians 2:4 says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace that you and I have been saved. Nothing we can do, nothing we can do to earn it, but it is because of God's grace that we can have life. And that's why we celebrate Good Friday. And that's why we will celebrate Easter. See, Jesus was and is today a forgiving Savior. And we take that to the bank, every one of us. Jesus gave us a great example of this kind of love, even while he was on the cross, even in Christ's final moments of life here on earth, he had a forgiving heart. And again, go back to that story that you've seen so many times on television, and you think about the things that happened to Jesus and what he went through on that cross especially, and before the cross. And yet, here's what he had to say in Luke 23:34. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. No revenge, no anger, no threats. Just ask his Father to forgive them. The final way that God and Jesus demonstrated their love for us that I want to look at tonight is that it's a sacrificial love. I want to read that two verses of that passage I read earlier one more time. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. You see, without him, we can't live. We can't have life like he would want us to have. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. His death was sacrificial. His love was a sacrificial kind of love. Sacrificial love is essential for any relationship. It's we all, in any kind of loving relationship, if we want that relationship to flourish and to grow, there's times that we have to be sacrificial. We can't be selfish and always want our own way. We have to be willing to compromise and to give in. You see, Jesus wanted to be here for us, and he was willing to come and to die, to sacrifice. Sacrificial love is compelling. Compelling is convincing or being persuasive, irresistible, powerful, strong. That's the kind of love sacrificial love is. It's a great example. We learn by watching people sacrificially love other people. John 15, 13 says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. This is sacrificial love like no other. Good Friday is a day in which we remember the cross. We remember his sacrificial love for us. Every one of you tonight when you came in received a cross, hopefully. If you didn't, hopefully there's more outside, you can get one. But I gave you that cross because I want you to take that with you. Keep it with you. Never forget. Let it be a constant reminder to you when you get all wrapped up in your own life, in your own problems, in your own situations, and we think, oh, poor me, I've got it so bad. Pull that cross out. Hold it in your hand and remember what that cross means. You see, that cross represents God's love for us, his unconditional love, his sacrificial love, his forgiving love. If it's not for that cross, we have no hope. So keep that with you and let that constantly remind you. We need to always remember that God sending his son into the world and his death on the cross was not prompted by man's love for God, but it was prompted by God's love for mankind. He understood the problem that was caused because of sin. He understood that he could not connect with sin, so something had to come and to be the sacrifice that would pay for those sins so that we once again, as believers who accept him, could come together and be together with him here on this earth and in life everlasting. He died so that we could live. He died for the propitiation of our sins, his payment for our debt, a debt that none of us could have paid. None of us sitting here tonight, if you've not accepted Christ, none of you can handle that debt. There's only one person that can pay that debt for your sin, and that is Jesus Christ, and he's promised to do that if you only ask for it. You see, God did, and Jesus did not just preach love. He took it a step further. He demonstrated it. He demonstrated it every day of his life, and he demonstrated it on the cross when he died for us. This is what true agape love looks like. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. That's what it looks like, and that's what Jesus did. He did that for all of us. Tonight, we are going to take communion together as a family of God. You know, most people at funeral services, they talk about someone's life, and they celebrate that person's life. But in this time of communion, we not only celebrate the life of Jesus Christ, but we do talk about the death of Jesus Christ. And when you think and prepare your heart for communion, you're thinking about what happened to Christ. Why did he love me so much? You've got to ask that question. Why did he care so much about me? I haven't done all the good things that I should do. I'm not the person I should be. But no matter what, he still loves me unconditionally. And he still lived his life and gave his life so that I can have life everlasting. And that is what we celebrate every single time we come together for communion. We celebrate that death of Jesus. As we prepare for the Lord's Supper, I challenge you tonight to not only think about the example that Jesus gave us while he was living, but about the example that he gave us on how to love, how true love works, and how it looks. Because again, he was the face on that kind of love, agape love, unconditional love, sacrificial love. That's what it looks like. And that's what we want to remember tonight. Remember, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. So let's remember that tonight as we celebrate communion together. God, you are love. And anytime we want to understand the whole topic or subject of love, all we need to do is look at you. Look at your Son that came into this earth and look how he loved us. As unlovable as each of us are, you still loved us enough to die. And Lord, we are so thankful tonight that we can celebrate that death. Because we realize, Lord, that in order for you to rise, you had to die. And so tonight we give honor to that sacrificial, unconditional, forgiving love that you had for every one of us. And that we celebrate each time we take this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of you. In your name I pray.